This episode is brought to you by Google Gemini. With the Gemini app, you can talk live and have a real-time conversation with an AI assistant. It's great for all kinds of things, like if you want to practice for an upcoming interview, ask for advice on things to do in a new city, or brainstorm creative ideas. And by the way, this script was actually read by Gemini. Download the Gemini app for iOS and Android today. Must be 18 plus to use Gemini Live.
This is Matt and Myron, the podcast.
It is Sunday morning here on ESPN Radio. Matt and Myron back together week two after a long summer hiatus where somebody, I can't remember which one, took a long vacation and left the other one here. I'm going to assume it's Myron. 888-SAY-ESPN. It has been an awesome, absolutely awesome 2 weeks of sports with the Olympics. We got a ton to talk about and to get into. Myron, I have to tell you, before we get into specifics, I think right now, by the way, the women's basketball final, which is kind of the last major event, is going on. The USA and France are tied at 20. We'll keep you up to date on that game throughout. USA hasn't lost a basketball game in, 25 years. They're going for the gold medal right now. But I think this Olympics, from start to finish, is the best of my lifetime. I mean, the gold standard in recent years was probably 1984. That's when the USA's track domination really started. Carl Lewis, Mary Lou Retton in gymnastics. That's kind of the one that people point to. I think for me, Myron, this may have been the best one ever.
I think it's the best one I've seen, and I think it's happening at the right time. Social media helped it a lot. It felt like, to me, the most unifying Olympics we've ever had. I mean, people just were excited to follow everything. But I think we got to realize, like, why it was all so cool. I think where it was mattered a lot. Paris helped everything. I mean, with Tom Cruise in the stands for the gymnastics meet and, you know, all the celebrities there, like, that helped a lot.
A lot easier to get celebrities go to Paris than to go to, like, you know, Qatar. Like, they were like, all right, we'll go to Paris for the summer, sure.
Yeah, and I think that helped the vibe. I think also, man, after not really getting a real 2020 Olympics because of the pandemic, you know, we got 2021, but it wasn't the same. I think people appreciated, like, this was the first real Olympics post-pandemic. So, I don't know, man. I loved every minute of it, man, and I don't know how you top this.
Yeah, so I think there's a few things. I totally agree with you about Paris. I think that's part of it. You made fun of me last week. But I do think this is part of it. I think NBC's coverage of it was perfect in how they did it. And Peacock, you know, having the equivalent of the red zone that the NFL did, doing that. That's what I ended up watching most of the time because you'd get to all the things you could go to and flip to. The ability, the time zone differential, right, making it to where you could watch games during the day live if you wanted or then catch it at night. You know, there was a period – Myron, where NBC would hold off, you couldn't see the games live. They decided to let it go. I think that was good. And then I also think you got a special convergence of really amazing historical athletes going from the USA basketball guys, Simone Biles, you know, the Katie Ledecky. You've got the track, the female track stars, then Djokovic with his final run, Scottie Scheffler wins the golf. It just kind of felt like, from the American side, I mean, obviously we're taking an American point of view, but that you kind of had this sort of historic moment of the best athletes in all their sports, some of which are going to be doing this for the last time being in this event.
Yeah, I think that mattered a lot, right? I mean, there was clear buy-in across the board in every sport where the best wanted to play, you know, and it hasn't always felt like that. Like, even with basketball, there have been a lot of Olympics where stars sat out or didn't want to go. So for whatever reason, man, it felt like everyone decided that they wanted to be a part of this in all the sports. I think in terms of, like, across the board, our best athletes, these are the greatest teams we've ever assembled. You see what happened in women's track. This basketball team would crush the dream team. I mean, the greatest athletes assembled.
Do you believe that? Like, I'm not disagreeing with you, but do you think they would crush the dream team?
It would. And one of the things that bothered me, Matt, was people saying, oh, the games are close. The dream team was winning by 50 points. the Dream Team was beating people who had part-time jobs after the game. Like, this is not the same. The NBA team today or the Olympic team today is playing three-time MVPs and Wimby and guys like that.
68 dudes played in the Olympics that were in the NBA. Yeah.
So you're saying this team will beat the Dream Team? Is that what you guys
say? It would destroy the Dream Team.
I think Myron's right for this reason. The thing you have to remember about the Dream Team is that with the exception of Jordan, most of those dudes were at the back end of their careers, right? Yes. Like, that's the thing that people forget.
That's a good thing to remember.
Magic, Bird, and Jordan are probably better than LeBron, Curry, and Durant. But they were at the back. I mean, Bird could barely walk at the Olympics, right? Magic had not played a lot. So, really, you only got Jordan, Barkley, and, like, David Robinson in their primes. Whereas with this team, whether they're in their primes or not, all these dudes are still pretty amazing. And I do think that makes a difference, Myron.
Yeah, and I think the Jason Tatum conversation that's evolved. Listen, this team is just that deep. I mean, this team is so good that a guy just won an NBA championship, didn't really play a whole lot because you had so much talent. And what I love too, Matt, is we came to the Olympics and Anthony Edwards was saying, I'm the number one option. And people were talking about Tatum after winning a title. It was going to be this passing of the torch moment. And when the American team needed a win, who'd they go to? The guys over 35, Steph Curry, KD, and LeBron. Like, those were the heroes on this team.
Well, let's talk about
so
Steph.
I love that was the storyline.
Where for you, I mean, for me, when I'm thinking about this Olympics in 20 years, probably what's going to stick out is probably Simone Biles and the basketball. If I'm just being honest, that's probably what's going to stick out. You know, the swimming and the other track stars, you might remember some of it. There were a lot of Kentucky people, so I'll know that. But really, I think they were the stars. The Steph Curry, four threes in a row.
Yeah.
To me, that was one of the most exciting, amazing stretches of basketball I have ever seen. Do you agree with that?
Yes. And I think that's why you saw the reaction. Like, to me, I was thinking about it, Matt, and it's one of those things where over the course of my lifetime, there have been athletes that get into the zone, and it's just a special thing. Michael Jordan obviously would get into those moments and just hit shots left and right. You know, I think you look at Tom Brady, Mahomes kind of gets into that zone. But when Steph goes into that mode, like, there aren't many athletes who can duplicate that kind of rush we all get when we watch him, and you just know. Even though there's no way that shot should go in over two defenders.
It was going in. Yeah.
And here's the most amazing part. If you go back and watch the video, LeBron James and Kevin Durant are wide open. And Steph Curry says, no way, this is my moment, and hits the shot. I just think when he does that, Matt, when he gets into that mode, we've never seen anything like that in NBA history.
If you were to rank in my life the amount of times this has happened, it's probably around five. And probably all of them have been a Kentucky or team I root for game.
Yeah.
Steph made me stand up and run out of the room. Like with excitement. Like, when he hit that 4-3, I'm by myself, right? Like, I got nobody to impress. I'm by myself, and when he hit that three, I jumped up and went running out of the room like I'd seen a ghost. Like, that was, to me, the 4-3 is one of the more iconic things I have ever seen in basketball. I mean that. Like, I couldn't believe he took it, and then I couldn't believe it went in. And then I thought it was one of the best basketball moments that I can remember. I'm not saying it's exactly the same as Jordan against the Jazz or LeBron's block against the Warriors, but man, it's close, isn't it? Like, it was so exciting in the moment.
To me, man, for me, it goes beyond basketball. Like, that is one of the greatest sports moments I've ever experienced. I don't know, was it Sunday Tiger at the Masters in the early 2000s? It just was one of those unique things. And here was another thing that was added to it, Matt. And I was watching social media, and a lot of people were saying this and admitting this. For a lot of folks, it was the first time they could openly root for Steph. And you had all of these people who were like, so this is what it was like to be a Warriors
fan
as he was doing that?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, people who maybe rooted against him for whatever reason are experiencing the bliss that comes with Steph Curry. And kudos to that team. When Steph hit that zone, the greatest players in the world backed off and said, do what you got to do, man. And I think that is the beauty of that team, that they all dropped their egos, with the exception of Jason Tatum, and just made it fun for everybody.
It's interesting because if you're of a certain age, and I think all three of us are, we kind of see that group of Jordan, Magic, and Bird, like, yeah, even though they weren't exactly the same generation, we sort of see them as a generation of iconic, like, stars. You kind of say, when you talk about basketball, you go Jordan, Magic, Bird, right?
Yeah.
After this Olympics, are we going to do that with LeBron, Steph, and Durant? Like, is that are we going to talk about them like we talk about those guys in the 92 team?
Yeah, I think this will be this generation's 92.
I agree.
Because remember, for us, we knew about those guys, but to watch them go and beat the world the way that they did was such a special, iconic thing. I think for this generation, that's who they're going to remember. They're going to remember that Kevin Durant and LeBron James and Steph Curry, they're the reasons that the American team won the gold medal. And I think that Steph performance, that'll be the number one thing. Like, for me, the Atlanta Olympics, the one moment memory I have is still Ali with the torch,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
This will be the one thing people remember 30 years from now if they don't remember anything else about this Olympics. That's Steph Curry performance.
And it is amazing. All these great players, like, you know, all these iconic guys, probably everybody on that team will end up in the Hall of Fame except maybe Derek, yeah, White, right?
Yeah.
With that said, at the end of the game, it's those three dudes. And it was those three dudes every single game. Every time, it was those three guys, and that's just kind of – they're on just a different level. Now, Steph has a gold medal. Where does that make for him in the historic rankings of NBA players? And then what about the one dude who was a bummer? The one dude who complained, his mom did media. We've already had arguments here on the pre-talk about this. What about Jason Tatum? And why is it even a story that he's not playing? We'll deal with all that next here on Sunday Morning on ESPN Radio.
Counting down to kickoff.
This place is gonna rock! Magic from Michigan, touchdown!
We ain't got next, we got now.
Campus to campus, team to team.
Living the moment that every single kid dreams about.
The countdown rolls on, right here on ESPN Radio. Matt and Myron, the podcast.
As the number and severity of third-party breaches continue to rise, companies are increasingly vigilant, not just about how they handle their own data, but how their vendors do as well. For security and compliance leaders, this means more security reviews are coming across your desk every day, and valuable time is being wasted on manual security reviews. With Vanta Questionnaire Automation, security and compliance teams can complete security reviews up to 5 times faster, giving you time back to focus on running your security and compliance programs. Over 8,000 global companies like ZoomInfo, SmartRecruiters, and Noibu use Vanta to save time on security reviews. Visit vanta.com/podcast to learn more about questionnaire automation. That's vanta.com/podcast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
Team USA still unbeatable in the Olympics as they take home their 5th consecutive gold medal.
We had a really wonderful group of guys. They were all very committed to winning and to each other, and they didn't let anything get in the way of the gold medal.
It's everything I imagined and more. Just the excitement of doing it with the guys in our locker room. We all signed up for this mission to continue the USA basketball dominance.
This has been an amazing experience.
It was an amazing experience as the USA takes the gold. The USA women are playing right now. It is halftime. Is that the score? 25-25? Is that the halftime score? That can't be right, is it?
Nah, I think it's the end of the first quarter, but it's been competitive.
Well, I'm watching the game. It's halftime.
And it's 25-25?
It's USA's lowest scoring quarter this Olympics. They scored 10 points in the second.
Oh. They put the Iowa offense in, man. They slowed it down.
25-25 is a crazy score at half. Okay, well, I just turned it on, man. So I guess we got to listen. We should listen to Nick. All right, so USA wins the gold medal in basketball. We're going to talk about the other sports.
You hear him get mad? Well, Nick got mad. Like,
he should have got mad. He's watching the game, and we weren't.
It's not like a lazy oversight.
I'm watching it, too.
Oversight.
I just couldn't see. No, I just couldn't see that it was halftime.
France is coming for it all, Myron. You said it.
Yeah.
They're trying to take everything we have, everything we love, and we need to be aware of the French.
Well, we'll get to that. I want to get to the other sports because, obviously, you know, just for the record, the University of Kentucky, had they been a country – they would have come in ninth in gold medals. Just want to say that.
That's
just for
amazing.
People out there. BB.
Where would Duke have placed?
Last. No, I don't. One Duke guy is the one we're going to talk about. The one that didn't play during basketball, which is Jason Tatum. So Tatum did not play in two of the six games, including the semifinal win over Serbia. And honestly, even when he did play, he only played a few minutes and for the most part stuck. So he was kind of the whiny guy on the team. You know, there were lots of stories about how he didn't like he didn't feel good about it. His mom complained in the press. Yeah. You know, they put him on the court yesterday, and he didn't particularly play well. They got him out, and then they came back and won. The Jason Tatum experience in this entire tournament, I think he's the only guy that comes out of the Olympics maybe a little more disliked than – I think no one else did that happen. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it was the only sour moment of the Olympics. Like, when did we decide that we had to give players anything and that this wasn't just a competition where the best players are going to emerge, right? Like, to join the Olympic team, you know you're going to have to change your role. That's the whole point. All of these guys are stars for their respective teams. But, like, somebody has to sit. Somebody has to get more minutes than someone else. And I just thought the whole Tatum narrative made no sense. He wasn't the finals MVP. He wasn't the best player on his own team. And he was given opportunities to prove that he belonged in this rotation. And he didn't do anything when he was given those opportunities. So why are people crying for Tatum? And the mom thing is just terrible, man. Like, this is a grown man on a $300 million max contract. Like, why is his mom getting involved in anything with this situation?
So I have a general rule, and this is my – this is for all you people that are listening out there that are parents that might have a kid who's good at something. All right? This is the timeline. This is the Matt Jones timeline for when you should talk. All right? If they are 14 or under, you can speak for them. When they get to high school, be careful saying too much. Yep. And by the time they get to college, you should turn down every interview unless it's just to say, I love my baby. That's it. Yeah. You should not be talking. No person who's playing sports wants to hear their mom or their dad interviewed. And when you're a $300 million player who just won the championship and is in the Olympics, mom should say nothing about playing time ever. You know, I don't know what Jason Tatum fans, who they thought he should play instead of. Yep. Curry's a point guard, not playing instead of him. LeBron and Durant, LeBron's first or second best player ever. Durant's probably the best Olympic player ever. Guess what? You're not playing in front instead of them. Got to have a center, so you're not playing instead of him. So basically, it's down to you and Booker, right? And Booker is perfect for this team. They need a dude to play defense and shoot threes. Tatum's not been a great three-point shooter. His defense is not as good as Booker's. What is the complaint? He should have been Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards has the ball all the time, but when he came in, he had a role. Anthony Edwards was better than him in this Olympics, Myron, and they played who they should have played.
And you look at how much people love playing with Anthony Edwards, who was sort of hit and miss, had some moments, had some young moments as well. But, like, you know, Steph does the video with him yesterday. Like, Anthony Edwards on that team, everybody embraced him. Tatum was the only guy who was sitting out here saying, this has been difficult for me. But to your point, Devin Booker made 57% of his threes. You're going to play him in that situation if you're trying to win. And these games were tighter than anybody ever imagined. You can't put lukewarm Tatum in the game just because his mom is complaining. Like, none of that makes sense. And when did we become sports fans who thought superstar athletes were suddenly owed something? When did we change?
I mean, my problem was actually less with Tatum than it was the media members who – And it's always the same people who are like, I don't like participation trophies. This generation soft. And then they'd go, you owe it to Jason Tatum to play. No, you don't. You don't owe him anything. Like, he won a gold medal. The same people who whine about, oh, there's no tough guys anymore. Jason Tatum should be playing for the – like, it drove me absolutely nuts listening to these otherwise intelligent people arguing, okay – assuming a 10-man rotation, two dudes aren't going to play. Are you telling me that Anthony Edwards shouldn't play? Are you telling me Drew Holiday shouldn't play? Like, play the guys who are the best. And Tatum, he was minus six yesterday, and you can't play him in a game like that.
Yeah, like, this is what I'll compare this team to, the Dream Team. We would have never had this conversation. Do you remember who didn't play in the Dream Team? I don't know. I know Michael Jordan played a lot because he was that good. And Charles Barkley was really good. And the guys who were very good played a ton. Because that's what you do in this moment when you're trying to win a gold medal. Just this narrative about being owed something. Tatum didn't win finals MVP, right? And now he comes into the Olympics, and a lot of people thought his teammate Jaylen Brown deserved a spot over him.
But Jaylen Brown was not on the team. Because they didn't want another one of these guys, right?
Exactly.
No, that's exactly right. They picked Derek White over Jaylen Brown for this exact reason. Steve Kerr knew that spot probably would get spot minutes. He decided to take a dude who could come in, play defense, and hit corner threes. And imagine if you had two of these guys. John Calipari once told me when he was here, he goes, I can have one knucklehead, but I can't have two. Right? And I think there's a part where I think they were worried that you'd have two people there wanted.
Yeah, and let me say this too. I mean, it's not just Jason Tatum. It's the fact that Boston fans are the whiniest fans in
whiniest.
The world.
Whiny.
They have won more than anybody in the history of sports.
And they act aggrieved, and they've won more than anybody.
If you go to Logan Airport in Boston, they have every single banner that they've ever won hanging at the gate when you check in. Like, they want you to know how great they are. But the moment one of them gets a hangnail, Matt, all of a sudden it's like, how could you do that to us? How could you? Like, what are y'all talking about, man?
Boston fans are like the people out here always whining about cancel culture who then are like, I'm not watching the Olympics because of the opening ceremony. Like, those are the people. And that is a Boston fan. Like, there were prominent Boston fans cheering for France yesterday because Jason Tatum got his feelings hurt. Like, it just drives me absolutely crazy. And if you're a Boston fan, you can call in 888-SAY-ESPN. You know we're right. You all have won more than anyone has ever won anything, and you complain more than any fan base complains about anything.
It's sickening.
And that's all I got to say about that. I didn't expect to get that worked up, but I did. Now, we have there have been other sports in the Olympics besides basketball, and we have an insider on one of the newest sports. That'll be right here on ESPN Radio.
Hey, it's your resident Super Bowl champ Chris Candy. Coming up Monday, the Bears got it right with drafting Caleb Williams, but will keeping Matt Eberflus come back to haunt them? It's Unsportsmanlike, 6 a.m. Eastern, right here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, and ESPNU.
Matt and Myron, the podcast.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
The holidays are about spending time with your loved ones and creating magical memories that will last a lifetime. So whether it's family and friends you haven't seen in a while, or those who you see all the time, share holiday magic this season with an ice-cold Coca-Cola. Copyright 2024, The Coca-Cola Company.
Dormez-vous. Well, they may be singing that today in France.
Yeah.
In a big surprise. with 7 minutes to go in the third quarter. France leads the United States women by 10, 35-25. The United States women have not lost in 30 years in the Olympics, but are down 10 right now.
This is real, man. And if you're watching the game, if you're not, France has slowed the game way down. This is like some old Virginia basketball stuff where they're playing it real slow and America's having a hard time adjusting.
Dean Smith doing the four corners out here.
That's what they're basically doing.
You know, well, they've just cut it to five. So USA trying to come back. 888-SAY-ESPN. Yeah. By the way, the last time the USA didn't lead at halftime of the Olympics was in 2012 against Australia. They ended up winning that game. We got some Boston people, I think, or people who are sort of agreeing with us on the Boston being the whiniest city because of Jason Tatum. Hopefully his feelings were not hurt and he'll be able to come back and play basketball. He did, however, say this would not affect him playing in 2028, although he would have to think about it. You know, come on.
Okay, whatever.
Like
about Steve all Kerr, you want, Jason.
Steve Kerr is not going to be the coach in 2028. So, like, I don't even know what difference it would make. Like, it'll probably be what, Eric Spoelstra, you think, would be the one that coaches it in 2028?
Yeah, and, like, you know, will Bam and Anthony Edwards and Halliburton and those guys who are definitely going to be in that team, will they want to play with them? I don't know. Out of all the social media stuff I've seen, it seems like everybody's having a great time there except Tatum, you know? And I just wonder if that's translated other stuff, you know?
That's been one of the things I've really enjoyed about this Olympics is the way people from one sport, like, went to the other. You know what I mean? Like, there's six or seven members of the U.S. men's team at this women's game right now. Like, a lot of that stuff seemed to happen, and I think that's cool. I just think that was part of why I enjoyed this so much. Yeah. Marcus is in Arizona. Go ahead, Marcus.
All right, thanks for having me on. I just wanted to do a little defending of Jason Tatum. I'm not from Boston. In fact, I'm a Laker fan. But Jason Tatum's a great player. And
agreed.
I think he's getting a little bit of short stick here.
But let me – okay, when you say short stick, all right, so –
yeah, what does that mean?
What do you mean? Like, do you think, even though he wasn't playing well, that because he's Jason Tatum, he should have played?
What do you mean – when you say he wasn't playing well, what do you mean?
He didn't play
He didn't play well.
No, that's not true.
Well,
they had
–
hang on just a second. They played three or four exhibition games in which he played multiple minutes – and he didn't work. He wasn't good.
Okay, but he wasn't the only one who had bad games.
Steph Curry's greatest stuff
playing the last two games. The first four.
But Steph's a point guard. Hang on just a second. Steph is a point guard. They had to have a point guard. The only other point guard on the roster was really Drew Holiday, who's not even really a point guard. So they had to play him because he's a point guard. All right, and then Halliburton's the other guy who didn't play well in the early games, and guess what? He didn't play either. So if Halliburton can sit, sir, why can't Tatum sit?
I'm not saying Tatum couldn't sit, but he could have played. He was the second best player in the Tokyo.
Who would you have played him over?
They didn't have a
who would you have played him over?
Problem playing him in.
Marcus, who would you have played him over?
The only first team on.
Yeah, all right, I get all that. This is international basketball. Who would you have played him over?
I understand that.
But who would you have set him? Okay, Marcus, you don't get to. You don't get to play six guys. I want to give you one more chance. You don't get to play six guys. Steph, LeBron, KD, Booker, and Anthony Davis. Who you putting him in instead of?
They don't need to play 30 minutes.
All right,
you're not answering the question,
no
Marcus.
Answer.
That's the problem, man. You want to answer the question. What's your favorite ice cream? I like cake. Like, what are y'all talking about, man?
And it's also
answer
worth
the doggone
remembering.
Question.
It's also worth remembering, international basketball is different than the NBA.
It is.
It just is. The flow is different. Because there's only a few games, Myron, they get up and down the court. Right? When you play in that style where you can take the ball off the rim, the things that really value in the NBA, driving to the basket, it's not as easy in international basketball, Myron. And so those skills are kind of like it's not the same.
And it's also why you often see young players who haven't experienced that struggle because the rules are so different. Marcus made the point that Steph hadn't played well in games. And there were certainly games where Steph wasn't great. But you know why Steph is playing? First off, he's Steph. Number two, it's because at any moment he can do what he did in that game yesterday.
Exactly.
Like, you can't compare him and Jason Tatum. It's different circumstances, completely different players and resume.
As good as LeBron is, and LeBron won them multiple games along the way, The reason Kevin Durant is the greatest Olympic player of all time is because as good as LeBron is, as good as Kobe is, the Olympic game is made for Kevin Durant, right? Like, the ability to be multifaceted and shoot from the outside, that's the Olympic game. And Tatum, at least this time, Myron, just doesn't fit into that.
He didn't. And why is it? It's okay to say that. Haliburton had one of the greatest breakout seasons maybe we've seen in what he did with his team and the Pacers and leading to the playoffs into the postseason. And that guy didn't play for three games, and he was as happy as anybody because
Joel
he knows
Embiid.
His time will come.
Just use Joel Embiid. Okay, Joel Embiid is a MVP candidate year in and year out in the NBA. In the Olympics, Bam and AD are way better than Joel Embiid for that style of play. You remember a few years back, DeMarcus Cousins was great in the Olympics.
It was incredible.
Because it was his style of play. It's just more of what it is that they do. John, go ahead, John, in Maine. John.
Is John there?
We ran him off. He's worried he wouldn't get enough time. Deb in Maryland is going to be reasonable. I kind of feel like Deb is the kind of person that will be reasonable. Go ahead, Deb.
I am going to be reasonable. Thank you for having me on. Longtime Celtics fan, bleed green, but I think that Jason should have just been quiet. I don't know who people are judging Steve Kerr, given his coaching pedigree, and Tatum wasn't playing well. I'm not going to put him in instead of Durant or LeBron. If you're not playing well, just enjoy being part of the team and I just want to prove that not all Boston fans are as crazy as you are.
All right. First of all, let me give Deb a round of applause.
I appreciate
Deb. Let me tell you something,
Deb.
That was
reasonable.
That was great. This is why stereotypes are wrong. We made stereotypes.
That's true.
And Deb is showing, hey, stereotypes are bad. We're not all like that. So Deb is helping us all learn a lesson about how you have to be careful when you stereotype a group of people.
No, I appreciate it. Certainly, there are some people in that town who think they deserve championships and playing time, but that's not everybody. So that's good to know.
But also remember, she's in Maryland, so maybe she's gotten a little bit of that out of her.
Yeah,
like she's
was originally from Boston.
Yeah, originally from Boston, but now she's in Maryland. She's eating the crabs there. You know,
you can't do all that in Maryland.
Yeah, she visited Cumberland, Maryland, which is one of the most beautiful towns in the country.
Yeah,
and she's probably that's helped mellow her. Let's go to Tom and Syracuse.
She's watching
Tom.
And stuff. Yep.
Thanks, guys. Hey, can we talk about rugby, wrestling?
We cannot talk about rugby. All right, I'll tell you what. You know what, Tom? Let me start with this. You go ahead. I'm gonna give you the floor. You talk about what happened in Olympic rugby. Go.
But. Just the story in itself, the people, the players.
Go ahead. I'm waiting for
that.
But, Tom, I'm waiting
American
for the story.
American rugby was fun.
What's the story about rugby you want to talk about?
Just the fact that the team won the gold medal. I mean, they won
team?
The medal. I mean, it,
which
just,
team won?
The United States did not win. The United States did not win the rugby gold medal. You realize that, right?
I know they won a medal, the first time they've ever won a medal.
But they didn't win the
women's team.
My point, guys, is I'm just tired of the men's basketball talk.
Why?
Just expand your horizons a little bit. Because I guess
I'm not trying to be rude to you, Tom. I like Syracuse. Dinosaur barbecue's nice. Jim Boeheim, before he became an old cranky man, was fine. But I need to say something to you. You want me to expand my horizons? First of all, my horizons are expanded. I watched all of it. But secondly, Tom, you want me to expand my horizons to information that is not true. You remind me of people I see in my life who are like, did you read this story? And then it's fake. You just said, why aren't we talking about rugby where the U.S. won the gold medal? And, Tom, they didn't win the gold medal. That's why we're not talking about it.
Yeah, that's a challenge.
I made a mistake, but they won a medal.
Exactly. So expand your horizons and learn who won the gold medal.
But my thing is, Tom, when you say you're tired of the men's basketball, what is that? Why? It felt like most people loved what we just witnessed. Like, you saw Steph Curry hit four threes in 2 minutes and 11 seconds, and you hated that?
Maybe it's just a me thing, and again,
you're a good guy, Tom. I'm sure you're a good guy. Let me just finish this. Who won the gold medal in men's rugby
or women's rugby?
I have no idea.
So expand your horizons and find out who won the gold medal in men's rugby. It's Sunday morning on ESPN Radio. We'll be right back.
Counting down to kickoff.
This place is gonna rock. Michigan touchdown.
We ain't got next. We got now.
Campus to campus, team to team.
Living the moment that every single kid dreams about.
The countdown rolls on right here on ESPN Radio. Matt and Myron, the podcast.
Traveling to see your fave sports team is cool. But traveling with Amex Platinum for the big game is even better.
Right this way.
With access to dedicated card member entrances at select events, you can skip the line.
And one.
And with access to the Centurion Lounge,
he shoots a three.
You can catch the next game on the way home. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex. Card member entrance access not limited to Amex Platinum card.
This episode is brought to you by Honda. When you test drive the all-electric Prologue SUV, there's a lot that can impress you about it. There's the generous passenger space, the clean, thoughtful design, and the intuitive technology. But out of everything, what you'll really love most is that it's a Honda. Visit Honda.com/EV to see offers.
There you go.
We all felt like that.
The Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan music. And he spoke at the Republican convention. My man's had a comeback in his life.
He did. This was it was patriotic for a lot of people who aren't always patriotic. I'll say that. Not as openly. And it felt like everybody in these last, 3 weeks of the Olympics has just been.
You know what? I thought Kevin Durant. And by the way, the U.S. now leads France 45-43 at the end of the third quarter as they've come back and won. I felt like Kevin Durant spoke what a lot of people. Like, there's this notion sometimes that patriotism is just like America's the best at everything. Yeah. I thought what Kevin Durant said was actually my favorite form of patriotism I've seen. They asked him about how after they win, he would drape himself in the flag. And he said, I love America. And he goes, there's a lot of BS in America, but there's also a lot of really good stuff. And I was like, to me, that's actually the patriotism. I agree with that, right? Like, we're not perfect. But we got a lot of good stuff. And I actually think for people who don't like, let's say, the USA basketball team, you had to love the pictures yesterday with all of them draping the American flag on themselves. Like, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, like, again, I'm serious when I say, like, to me, that was one of the more unifying moments I've experienced in the last decade, I think, in this country, and that people could get behind these athletes, you know. And I think the adversity the men's basketball team faced only helped. Like, all of a sudden, they could lose to Serbia. They might lose to France, and that intensified it. So it was cool.
Before
to see
we get back to the phones of the people mad or happy about Tatum, let me just give a shout-out, Myron, to the University of Kentucky athletes. You know, that's a great university, Myron, right? Yesterday, 6 gold medals. They had 9 gold medals for the Olympics, 6 of them yesterday. Yeah. I want to go through. 3 of them were on the men's basketball team, right? Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, and Bam Adebayo. Then Alexis Holmes.
AD's resume, real quick. AD's resume is better than people realize, by the way.
Let's do AD's resume real quick. College basketball National Player of the Year, Freshman of the Year, and Defensive Player of the Year. The only player to ever win all 3 awards in the same year, and he won the national championship. There, you could argue that's the best freshman season in the history of basketball. Second, he's number 1 pick in the draft. He's won an NBA championship, and now he's won 3 gold medals. That's a pretty amazing resume for a player, and I don't think people realize it.
I mean, that's in that Bill Russell category, legitimately.
Bill Walton, Bill Russell, those are the ones that have it, you know, in terms of being able to do it on all the levels. Then Alexis Holmes wins 110-meter hurdles. Another Kentucky person wins by 0.01 seconds. Then the 4x400 women's relay. Kentucky had 2 of the folks. Camacho Quinn was one of them. And then the Sidney McLaughlin. Sidney McLaughlin is one of the most amazing athletes I've ever seen. She got the baton in the second leg, and it was tied. And by halfway through the leg, the race was over. Like, she just ended the race in the second leg.
I have never, you know, I'm a big track guy. I've never listened to commentators in a moment with the second leg. They were just talking about who's going to finish second. Like, they weren't even talking about the lead anymore because they were so far ahead, and they were saying, okay, Great Britain, Irish, whoever's vying for that second spot because she's that good. And let me tell y'all something. She's the greatest 400-meter hurdler ever, and she will be forever. But what she ran yesterday was close to the world record in the 400-meter dash. And let me tell y'all something. The woman who has the world record, Marita Koch from East Germany in 1976, was probably on steroids when she set that record, and Sydney has a chance to do the unthinkable in 2028 in L.A.
This was the craziest stat to me. The 400-meter hurdle, when she won that race, had she been in the 400 meters with the hurdles, she would have come in 11th.
Yeah, that's crazy.
She beat over half the people in the Olympics. Yeah. She had a faster time in the hurdles, Myron, than they did running. That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy.
If the Olympics is how much better you are than everybody else in the world in your sport, Sydney's the best athlete at these Olympics.
And I remember
that's the measuring stick.
When she came to Kentucky, the track coach said to me, the girl I have coming next year to run hurdles, she said, is the best track athlete that I've ever seen in my life. And you're like, okay, dude, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, guess what?
Yeah.
He was right. I mean, he is. Yeah. She is exactly that. Antonio in Austin. Go ahead, Antonio.
Hey, what's going on, my brothers?
What's up?
How you doing?
I love the show. And you were spot on about the Boston fans, okay, because I was born and raised in Boston. I live in Austin. But, yeah, we are spoiled, okay? We don't just know championships. We know dynasties, okay?
Yeah.
And the Jason Tatum thing, I was never really a big Steve Kerr fan. He was good as a player. But the team he walked into, the Golden State, that was Mark Jackson's team.
All right, so what is your point of all this? You said you agree, and now it just sounds like you're just wanting to praise Boston and crush Kerr.
Okay, no. Because as big of a Boston fan as I am, I'm not a Jason Tatum fan, okay? And to put it bluntly, the reason why I don't like him, he's great up until the game is on the line. He's a choker, okay? And Joe Mazzulla, he deserves a medal because Steve Kerr.
But didn't he just inherit? If you're under that logic, didn't he just inherit the other guy's team after
Boston
he got fired?
Team, like, yeah.
But he knew Jason Tatum is not your go-to guy. It's Jaylen Brown.
I don't know. I mean, I appreciate the call. I understand. But, like, if you
– I don't know the theme of that.
I don't know. I mean, Mark Jackson, I don't think he ever even won a playoff series. So I don't know how you can say that Steve Kerr inherited his team and then do this. But regardless, I guess he kind of agreed, although he did throw in there, we know dynasties, which is a great Boston thing. Like, you can't just say you win. We know dynasties. All right. Sean is in
– like the 60s, though, by the way, you know.
Sean is in Minnesota. Yes, Sean.
Hey, Matt. Hey, Myron. I'm calling your guys' show, but you guys crack me up with how you chop people up and just it's just good chemistry. It cracks me up. I don't even have cable.
Thank you very much.
So okay. I hail from Morris, but I'm from the Northeast Naps, Brooklyn Center, but I was just to hail that, Myron. But, guys, I was wondering, like, I'm a big Ann Edwards fan, as a lot of people are, especially if you're from Minnesota. But I was thinking, you know, Tatum, I'm a huge Duke fan. I remember them losing their butts when Tarkanian was chewing the towel, and that's the first time they lost their butt before they started winning. But I don't like Tatum. I think he's a buster, just like that last caller said. And I'm just wondering, if you had to rank guys of the starting five of the Olympic team, like, where would you put Ants as far as, like, Curry, Durant, like, what they did in the Olympics here? Like,
if you're just talking about what they did in the Olympics. So if you're just talking about what they did in the Olympics, and over the course of the Olympics, you probably would go – LeBron, Curry, Durant. And then I would probably go Booker, AD, and then maybe Ant 6, Myron. What would you do?
Yeah, he's up there. I mean, to me, like, I separate LeBron, Curry, and KD. Like, that's a different category for me. And then it's sort of that next tier.
Well, Booker would then be the MVP of your non-icons category, wouldn't you?
But that's what Steve Kerr called him. I mean, if people watch the post game and watch Steve Kerr's comments, Steve Kerr said Booker was our silent MVP, essentially. Like, he was the guy who kept it all together. So, you know, AD was great in a lot of stretches. Embiid wasn't, you know, but I think it was a great showcase for a dude like Anthony Edwards, who I think is going to be motivated even more playing around all
Yeah, no, I love, I don't care about Minnesota one way or the other. I love Anthony Edwards.
I just live here, that's all, but yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just saying I love Anthony Edwards.
Okay.
I love him. I think he's fun to watch. I love his attitude. I love how, like, he kind of was like the little brother they were picking on a little bit. Like LeBron said to him yesterday, well, you ain't never won anything, Ant, so let's enjoy this. I really enjoyed it. I think we'll look back in 4 years and, like, that'll be Anthony Edwards' team in part because of what happened right here, in my opinion. Sean in Minnesota. We just got, like, a minute, Sean. Or, no, this is John in Maine. Sorry.
John.
I got a little perspective here. I'm not going to expand any horizons, but I got 2 points. First of all, I think we're missing the fact that Tatum's behind all-time great. So it's not a slight on him by any means.
Agreed.
It's the fact that it's the history, and it's probably their last chance to play in the Olympics.
Agreed.
Second of all, we have so many championships. Yeah, and it's not just Boston, Massachusetts. It's all of New England.
All right, that's enough. I appreciate the call. I don't want to hear about your New England chance. This is not only
that dude was going to tell us about every
only
championship.
I agreed with your first point. Only one person gets to brag about where he lives, and that's me. And that's about Kentucky. The rest of you, you don't get to do that because nobody wants to hear about Boston. He's going to talk about UConn and all that stuff.
He's going to go back to 1957.
He's like taking credit for other states. You don't get to do that. The United States leads 49-47. Against France, and it is still a battle. France is hanging in there. I do like the FIFA refs let them play. We'll do more next here on ESPN Radio.
Greeny.
Did you watch Trampoline? These trampoline people are something else.
No kidding.
They are tramping like 1,000 miles into the sky. It's a thrilling sport.
Weekday mornings at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Thanks for listening to Matt and Myron, the podcast. You can listen to the show live every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. Matt and Myron, the podcast. From ESPN Podcast and Omaha Productions.
Ready? Here we go.
Coach is a new groundbreaking educational football podcast hosted by NFL legends Bill Belichick, Matt Patricia, and Michael Lombardi. In each episode, the coaches break down game-changing situations and front office management tactics, sharing insights from decades of coaching experience and opening up the Bill Belichick Encyclopedia of Football Knowledge. Created by football legends for football fans. New episodes of Coach drop weekly. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.